In moments of burden and weariness, I can confess to you this morning that I have not always entered into His rest. Can you relate to that? Sometimes I find myself, when I need Him the most, not resting in His arms and in His presence. And there are times when I allow my resting in Christ to be replaced, not just by the cares of this world, but sometimes by my service for Him. Does that strike a chord with you also? If you're like me, there are times when you're so busy serving the Lord, you have no idea where He might be. Sometimes we step out to live for Him, but we don't step out with Him. And in those times, I find that my desire to serve Him becomes greater than my desire for Him. And the reality of the truth that we're looking at this morning becomes even more pertinent to me, which is that my faith is productive only when nurtured by the presence of Christ. My faith has no productivity outside of His presence, but only when I am with Him, only when I am existing in His arms and at His feet and in His presence, am I able to do anything productive with my faith. Said another way, I bring glory to God when I am dwelling in the presence and mind of Christ. Over the last few weeks, we have seen that God calls sinners, and that God calls the humble. And God also uses those people from which He receives glory. He is glorified by those who have the mind and the attitude of Christ. Our text today is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. You may want to turn there now and stick your finger in there. Because as we have been walking this journey and finding out that there's no sin that is too big for God in my life, that He will reach out to me and call me into His presence and out of my sin, even in the midst of my sin, and that God uses the humble. When I lay down my own stuff and my own pride and my own exaltation, and I put myself humbly before Him, there God finds a vessel that He can mold and He can shape and use for His glory. And it leads us to Jesus as the example. And if we are in fact going to have the mind of Christ and have the attitude of Christ in our lives so that God may receive glory, the question that hangs over us this morning is, how do we achieve that attitude? How do we develop in our lives the mind of Christ? In John chapter 15, Jesus is sharing the Passover meal with His disciples. It has come to be known as the Last Supper, what we call communion, and we will be sharing together on Good Friday. Jesus prepares His disciples for life in the Spirit after He has gone. And John gives us the most extensive look into this intimate time that Jesus spends in the upper room during the Passover meal. It was on this night that He would later be arrested and tried. John gives five entire chapters to this event. Ironically, he only gives passing nods to the actions that we see recorded in the other Gospels. But we're grateful for the amount of intimacy that he has preserved coming from Christ to those he loves. Jesus reminds his disciples during this time of how they should approach their relationship with others. He sends Judas on his way. He predicts Peter's denial and affirms himself as the Messiah. He promises the Holy Spirit, and he reiterates what it means to live as his disciple. He contrasts his ways from the world's ways, and he prays for his followers. It is a cohesive whole, and I encourage you over the next 2 weeks between now and Resurrection Day that you might spend these 2 weeks reading the 8 chapters from John 13 through the end of the Gospel as you prepare both for Good Friday and for Resurrection Day. What Jesus reiterates concerning what it means to live as his disciple, that is our focus today. And in all of this richness that he has preserved for us, we're going to focus just on that event, that moment where Jesus is focusing on this is how you get it done. Not necessarily any particular work he's called you to, but this is how you get it done as far as what it means to be related to him, to have him growing in your life and transforming you and making you and molding you into the character of Jesus Christ. Here, Jesus explains what it means to live from within the mind of Christ. And his words, we don't want to miss this. His words are both endearing and foreboding at the same time. If you've turned there, I'd like to invite you to look at them together with me. It's John 15, verse 1. I'm going to back up a couple of verses in the John 14, verse 25. And Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." Verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear even more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and he withers. And the branches are gathered and burned in the fire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you will love one another. And let's add verse 33 of chapter 16. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, when I dwell on this scripture, I am reminded again that my faith is productive only when nurtured by the presence of Christ. In a fruitful life, Jesus tells us, is a life that brings glory to God. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now let's be very clear right up front. When Jesus is talking about fruit here, he's not talking about soul winning. Jesus is not talking about you're a productive, fruitful person because you've won 10 or 20 or 50 people to the Lord. Jesus here is not speaking about you bringing others into the kingdom at all. He's talking about what must be done in your life if he is going to use you to bring others into the kingdom. It's a spiritual fruit. Now, I don't know how many of you know. I kind of wondered about this myself, but we homeschooled our kids and my wife educated me. Now, let me ask you this question. Is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable? You're right. A fruit, by definition, is a seed container. And the fruit of the Spirit is what Jesus has in mind here. You see, the fruit is the environment from which seeds are planted. Paul talks about how he planted and Apollos watered, but God brought the increase. And so God may use the fruit that he builds in your life, the fruit that he produces in you as you abide in him or dwell in him or live with him, the fruit that is the result of your living with Christ, God will use to plant seeds. But those seeds are not the fruit. And so as we look at this passage today and we want to be used by God and we want to glorify God in our lives and we want to rest in his joy, even as he has shared with us, we can have fullness of life. We find that fruitfulness is to be Christ-like. I am living a fruitful life when my life is Christ-like. In verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, on my own, I am unproductive and fruitless. On my own, even when I'm seeking to serve him, even when I'm seeking to do things for him, ultimately I am unproductive because I can't create in me the fruitfulness that God desires. I can't create in myself the things that Jesus wants to do that only He can do in me. Verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in a vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." This is where my own efforts at serving and character development fall short. Have you ever thought, "I think what I need to do spiritually in my life right now is to be more gentle"? Have you ever thought that? It's important for us to realize that we can't become more gentle in our own effort. We can't just decide to be more gentle. See, the fruits of the Spirit come from the Spirit as we abide in Him and He abides in us, and we nurture our relationship and we rest in His presence, then He begins to mold us and shape us after Himself. So many of us are caught up in doing things and believing that because we do those things, God is pleased. And so we wrap ourselves around all kinds of different things, even ministries. Ministries or opportunities that we see that may be good and they may be needed, but they don't result in me being any more spiritual. They don't result in me being any more like Christ. They often result in me just feeling more empty and more frustrated and more weary. Two of Jesus' friends, Mary and Martha, were like that. Many of you are very familiar with that account that I'm going to refer to now. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And Luke tells us, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Now, I'm so grateful to the Lord that He has preserved this account. Because without this, don't you think that we might just have a firm belief that whenever I'm serving Him, whenever I'm doing something for Him, that He's pleased with me? And what we have to remember is that God, and we talked about this last week, God doesn't need us. God invites us. God's plan will come to fruition with or without me. But God has invited you to be a part of what He's doing. Now, if you don't accept His invitation, you may experience discipline. But serving God comes from God. It's an outflow of the work that He's doing in your life, not something you do to demonstrate how close you believe you are to Him or want to become to Him. And so verse 40 tells us Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." You see, this is how it goes. When we're working hard for Jesus and we're getting frustrated and we're feeling weary and burdened and things aren't turning out the way we think they should, and God's not blessing the way we think He should because we're after all doing this for Him, we begin to then tell God what He ought to be doing to help us. Have you ever been there? Ever found yourself in a situation where you just knew you had to tell God that, you know, "All right, Lord, you know, I need you to do this, or this thing that I'm doing isn't going to be successful." And so Martha says, "Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her. And I love this because it shows the gentleness of Jesus. Jesus can be up in your face sometimes. But she really did have a desire for the Lord. It was just misplaced. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen it, and it will not be taken from her." You see, God cares less about what you can do for Him than He does whether or not you are with Him. God wants us to be fixed and focused on developing that intimate relationship with Him. I am not in any way, shape, or form downplaying serving the Lord. I am not in any way dumbing down the fact that Jesus calls us into things. Last week we talked about the need that we had with extravaganza and how we were suffering for the want of helpers and people to serve next Saturday. The point here is that service is an outgrowth of the love that we have for and receive from Christ Himself. You see, when you abide in Christ, you are fruitful. He molds you and shapes you and develops you so that when people look at you, they see a reflection of Jesus Christ in your life. You see, I can't do anything for Christ in my life. But I can do things with Him. In Christ, you produce abundant and lasting fruit. Look at verse 2. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may be even more fruitful." I don't know how many of you like to garden. I'm going to guess that most of you have tried to grow something at some point or another. You may have killed it. You may have made it suffer for months before it died. Or you may have worked with it in a way that allowed it to flourish. But gardeners will tell you, and farmers will tell you, that with every plant in which you expect to receive produce, in other words, with every plant that you plant because you want it to be productive and fruitful, you have to keep a wary eye. Because if you look up at the screen, you'll see a tomato plant. And on that tomato plant, there are different branches. The branch that this person is holding is known as a sucker. A sucker is a branch that a plant will put out. Rose bushes put them out. Tomato plants put them out. Grapevines put them out. All kinds of different things will grow suckers. A sucker gets its name from the fact that it will grow. And it will grow big. And it will grow huge. But it will never make fruit. And as it's growing, it's sapping energy and it's sapping strength out of the vine. And it's hindering the process of fruit production by all the other branches around it. And Jesus tells us that every branch that turns out to be a sucker in the kingdom of God, He's going to cut off and He's going to cast out. It's going to dry up and He's going to burn it. And so this morning, before you leave, let's make sure that we have our minds wrapped correctly around how God would have us interact with Him and be transformed into His presence or into His nature and into His character. Because the last thing that you want to be is a sucker in the kingdom of God. you want to be productive. You want to be fruit producing. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into fire and burned. Isn't it interesting that this passage, and this happens a lot in Scripture, this passage, so intimate, so encouraging, so uplifting, and yet sometimes we want to read over, we want to gloss over the warnings that are built into it. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We're going to talk about that here in just a couple minutes. But to abide with Christ, I must remain in his presence. You see that in verse 4. I must remain in his word. Verse 7. And I must remain under his authority. Verse 10. See, if I'm going to abide with Jesus, if I'm going to sit at his feet, it's not a relationship of equals in any way, shape, or form. If I'm going to be with Jesus for the sole purpose of being humble before him, accepting his forgiveness of my sins, and allowing him to work in my life so that my life then glorifies the Father, even as Jesus did those things and glorified the Father. Remember last week in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus humbled himself and he became obedient even to death. And God exalted him, but not for his own sake, but for God's own sake. God exalted him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. You see, whatever God does in your life, however God might exalt you in your walk with him, that exaltation is returned back to him. This is why you have to be humble. God won't use you if you're already proud, because when God uses you, you'll be tempted to be prideful. But we have to take that glory and those crowns and cast them back at the feet of the Father. In chapter 17, Jesus prays for us. And we see a description of how glory is used by the Father, and it feeds back on himself. And so we are reminded of spiritual fruit. Again, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Spiritual fruit. Now, you know the most famous passage, there's one in Colossians and there's others throughout in Scripture, but the most famous passage is Galatians 5, 22 and 23, correct? And if we remember anything from Ephesians this past fall, is that Paul is a man who likes to make lists. He's always listing things. And Galatians is no different. In Galatians, he lists 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's the most exhaustive list that we have in Scripture. There are other fruits of the Spirit. And Jesus focuses here on 4. You see, when you abide in Christ, you produce his love. When you abide in Christ, you produce his love. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And then Jesus says this, now you abide in my love. Do you want to be a more loving person? Do you want the fruit of love, the fruit of the love of God to overflow in your life and to be built up and to be carried over into the lives of other people around you? Those are the seeds that Jesus wants to plant. Then you have to abide in his love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And when you abide in Christ, you produce his faithfulness. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, if you are faithful to me, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And not only is it love and not only is it faithfulness, but it's joy. When you abide in Christ, you produce joy. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You see, all of these things are things that you only achieve in your life in as much as you are abiding or dwelling or living in the presence of Jesus Christ. Like Mary, we must choose what is best. We must choose to sit at His feet, to be bathed in His words, and to be bathed by His love, and to be able to follow Him wherever He goes, so that His journey becomes our journey. His purpose becomes our purpose. When we go out to serve Him, we go out to serve Him because we're joining Him where we see Him already at work, not because we've conjured up in our mind something that we think it would be nice to do for God. And when we serve Him in that way, there is no anxiety, though it may be hard. We are not heavily burdened, though we may be tired, because we serve out of His peace. And when you abide in Christ, you produce His peace. Verse 26 of chapter 14. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Here it is. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Was it wrong for Martha to be serving dinner? Was it wrong for her? I mean, you know the type, right? I mean, it probably had to be perfect. And it was probably a 12-course meal because, after all, Jesus was there. But Martha was so busy trying to provide for Jesus. Don't miss that. She was so busy trying to provide for Jesus that she was unable to let Jesus provide for her. Mary, on the other hand, she was all over Jesus. She sat at His feet. She chose what is best. And so Jesus tells us again, chapter 16, 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. There's no peace anywhere else. No matter where you go or what you do, no matter how high you seek or how low you dig, you will never find genuine peace in anyone or anything else than in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has said these things so that in me you may have peace. And the world will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Christ has appointed you to be transformed into His character. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. You see, often we think that God is here to help us get through life. And when we're running around like Martha, when we're running around like that proverbial chicken with its head cut off, and our mistaken understanding of what it means to be in Christ, we cry out to Him and ask Him to help us get through. But Jesus didn't come to help you get through life. Jesus came that you might have life. And it comes into that area where we have to lay down our humility and lay down our pride and pick up humility as we rest in His presence, so that we can enjoy what Jesus has told us is life to the full, complete joy, utter peace. Jesus tells us here to ask and to seek and to knock. Note the context. It's not whatever you want, but as you dwell in Him, as you rest in Him, as you are transformed into His image and His character, and His fruitfulness is produced in you, you want what He wants. It's whatever you want as you dwell in Him. 1 John 5 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him." But you see, that request comes only when we ask according to His will. In James, we're told that we ask and receive because we ask with wrong motives. But whenever we're walking with God, whenever we're in His footsteps, whenever His character is being produced in our life, then we can cry out to Him and we can ask. When you have the mind of Christ, you're not going to want anything that's contrary to His will. You are not going to want selfishly. You're going to want more of Him. So go ahead and ask. Even now, this morning, right where you are, you can ask. You can ask more for more of His love, more of His power, more of Him in your life. You can hunger and thirst for it. You can seek and find more faith. You can knock and He will open the door to complete joy and utter peace. This morning, God is extending His arms. And He's saying, you don't have to go through life weary. Even if what you're doing for the kingdom, if it is causing you to be miserable, then maybe you haven't submitted yourself to Him at His feet. Maybe you're acting more like Martha than you are Mary. And so this morning, I'm going to pray for you. This morning, I'm going to pray that you choose what's best. I'm going to pray that you would respond to the nudging and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that if you have to, then you give up things that maybe were hidden in your mind, that in your pride you were serving Him, but today you realize that you're not as humble as you thought you were. And so today, I'm going to pray for you that you would choose what is best. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You and we worship You. And we thank You for Your word. And Father, may You find here that we today, like Mary, are found at Your feet. And may we not be distracted by others who may be acting like suckers, drawing sap, but not being fruitful. Father God, oh, what we want is to be fruitful. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, descend and fill each life. Prick each heart. Lead as only You can. Call out as only You can. And give us courage, Lord, that we would respond to Your voice, that we would heed Your call. This morning as we worship, are you abiding in Him? God uses those who have the attitude of His Son. And so I ask you, what do you need more of? This is an opportunity for you to come and to abide.